Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, June 23rd, 2014. The South Sudan peace talks in Addis Ababa have adjourned with the mediators and South Sudan government blaming rebels of the SPLM in opposition for creating obstacles on the road to peace.
It is a must that peace must come to South Sudan. I hope those who are negotiating peace in Addis Ababa, especially on the side of rebel, understand this. And the quicker they come to attend the fourth session of negotiation in order to expedite the signing of peace agreement.
And a top UN diplomat calls on both President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar to demobilize child soldiers.
I got a very strong commitment from the president to ensure that the commitment of South Sudan as a government will be followed.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, today adjourned the South Sudan peace talks indefinitely. The talks in Addis Ababa, which has been postponed a number of times since they began stalled last week over opposition claims the multi-stakeholder negotiations were not inclusive. Lucy Pony has the story for VOA from Nairobi.
In a statement released today, IGAD criticized the SPLM-SPLA in opposition for boycotting the talks, calling it a contradiction to the June 9th agreement signed between President Salva Kiir and his former deputy Riek Machar. That agreement provides for the inclusion and participation of other stakeholders in the negotiations. Opposition deputy spokesperson Mabior Garangdi Mabior says postponing the talks was unnecessary. He says after his group filed a complaint with IGAD regarding the selection of stakeholders to participate in roundtable negotiations, many groups, including IGAD, remained mum about the concern.
I can categorically say that we are not an obstacle to the peace. And it is unfortunate that that would be blamed because we have been told all this time that we should not play pointing games. And for the mediation now to start playing blame games is unfortunate. What our dissatisfaction was the flawed nature in which the civil society organizations were chosen. Because in these talks, we are the ones who have championed the cause of inclusivity, and we stand by that cause.
Mabior says internally displaced persons and those who fled the country during the fighting should also be represented at the talks. He says civil society organizations represented in Addis were all selected from Juba. Mabior says all they are asking for is fair representation.
It's unfortunate that they have adjourned the talks because it will only prolong the war and the suffering of our people, and we want a swift end to this war. So this is why we want direct negotiations with the government while they work out fair representation of civil society.
But presidential spokesman Atenyue Kateny says the government had no hand in the selection of civil society representatives to the talks.
The civil society are a very independent people, so they chose themselves. The government did not tell them on how to draw their delegates. It was the IGAD themselves, the IGAD mediators themselves, who came here to this country to look for stakeholders, and they found them. We went to the symposium, with the knowledge that the civil society from the other side. Is called to come to Addis Ababa. So it wasn't our fault.
Atenyue says it's not too late for the opposition to participate in the talks aimed at restoring peace in the country.
South Sudanese need peace, and peace is paramount, and it is a must that peace must come to South Sudan. So I hope those who are negotiating peace in Addis Ababa, especially on the side of rebel, understand this, and the quicker they come to attend the fourth session of negotiation, in order to expedite the signing of peace agreement so that we move to another stage, the early they do it, the better.
Mabior reiterated his side's commitment to end the conflict through the IGAD-mediated peace talks. He says his group believes strongly that the only way to end the conflict is through political dialogue rather than military means. Both the pro- and anti-government sides now say the 60-day deadline set by IGAD seems unrealistic due to the slow pace of the negotiations. IGAD says it's going to consult widely with stakeholders before announcing the resumption of talks. IGAD also expects the stakeholders to consult and provide feedback on a draft framework for political negotiations by 1st of July 2014. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Nairobi.
Mungumi Davis Rakarinji in Juba contributed to this report. South Sudan's defense minister, Kwal Manyang Juk, also says although some sporadic fighting has been reported in recent days, the security situation in South Sudan is slowly returning to normal. He says, for the most part, armed forces on both sides of the conflict are observing the cessation of hostility agreement signed by their leaders earlier last month. As Philip Aleu reports for VOA from Juba, Juk believes the talks in Addis will eventually lead to a deal that restores peace in South Sudan.
Juk says there were attacks on government positions in Unity and Jonglei states as recently as last week. And in Afan Isle state last week, Juk says rebel shelled Nasi town, leaving poor government soldiers wounded.
Cessation of hostilities as a result of the peace talks in Addis Ababa that are being observed. Of course, there are a few cases of violations, and especially from the White Army, what they call the White Army. These are civilians that are not in contact with Dr. Riek. And these are his forces, because he admits that the White Army is under his control. The situation is now coming back to normality.
Juk accuses the media of exaggerating the magnitude of the fighting. He says people living outside South Sudan are not getting an accurate depiction of what has happened over the last 6 months.
The war actually is not there any longer in the way people hear it outside. First of all, it has been circulated that South Sudan is insecure, which is not correct. It's not the whole of South Sudan, it's part of the body that is suffering from insecurity. We have 10 states in South Sudan, and 7 states are stable. There has never been any disturbance.
Juk says after violence broke out in Juba more than 6 months ago, fighting has been confined to remote areas of Jonglei, Unity and Upper Nile states. As for recent reports of pro-government forces deserting the army in Jonglei state, Juk acknowledges Juba has not paid some soldiers' salaries for several months in order to address other war-related necessities.
Not soldiers only, but for the civil servants, because of the needs of the war that has been imposed by Dr. Riek on the people of South Sudan, there was delay of salaries, but their salaries have been paid.
And Juk denied reports that he tried to step down.
I have not submitted any resignation, and I do not know from where they pick up this story. I have resigned. I think it is a creation of those who want to create instability within the government, and it's not the first time for such a creation or a creation like this to be created. Sometimes back 4 months ago, it was alleged that I revealed the government is paying the Ugandan army, which was totally false.
No casualties were reported from last week's fighting in Jonglei or Unity states. For BOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
After meeting with President Salva Kiir in Juba today, a top United Nations official is calling on both warring parties in the conflict to stop using child soldiers. From Juba, Mungume Davis Rakarin files this report.
Leila Zerugui, the UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflicts, says recent gains made on children's rights in South Sudan have been enlarged by the ongoing conflict. Zerugui says she reminded Mr. Kiir during their meeting that before the conflict, his government had signed a commitment to end recruitment of child soldiers and to ensure it demobilized all child soldiers from the army.
I got a very strong commitment from the president to ensure that the commitment of South Sudan as a government will be followed, and he asked for any schools that is still occupied by the military to be vacated. He also committed to ensure that no children will be in the SPLA army and security forces.
The UN estimates that up to 9,000 children to have been recruited into the fighting by both sides since December of last year. Colonel Philip Aguer, the SPLA spokesperson, says his army is willing to work with the UN agencies to demobilize child soldiers. He admits his side has more than 300, but says the vast majority of children reported by the UN are in the opposition forces.
These children were not recruited by the SPLA. These were children that were brought by the other armed forces that had been integrated into the SPLA.
But Lu Ruai Kong, a military spokesperson for the anti-government forces, aligned with Riek Machar, denied his side keeps any child soldiers.
There were reports and we took steps to correct that. And we know of one case of some child soldiers that came with the white arms are not under command. They are not under jurisdiction. But if there are reports of child soldiers in our ranks, then we will demobilize them.
Kwong says his side is adhering to an agreement signed with UNICEF in May not to use child soldiers. Zerugui says those who recruit children for war must be punished.
We also ask the president to ensure that not only we have a strong will and commitment, which is important, but also we have the legal framework. I ask for criminalization of recruitment of children. I ask, and he committed to that.
Zerugui says he also discussed with President Kiir what can be done to improve education for girls in the country. But she says in order for children to study, the army has to leave school premises. The United Nations says hundreds of schools have been occupied by pro- and anti-government forces. Zerugui was accompanied to South Sudan by UNESCO Director General Irina Bokavate and award-winning U.S. film star and UNESCO Special Envoy for Peace and Reconciliation, Forrest Whitaker. Zerugui says in order for children and all members of society to enjoy their rights as citizens, the leaders on both sides of South Sudan's conflict must restore peace in the country. For VOA News, I am Gumides Ruakarinj in Juba.
Lucy Pony contributed to this report from Nairobi. A top United Nations official is expressing concern about the plight of IDPs in Jonglei State, which is one of the areas that has been hard hit by the ongoing conflict. Panos Motozesis, a senior humanitarian advisor at the UN, says aid agencies are still unable to access some of the displaced in the South Sudan because of insecurity. For VOA News, Jacob Atiak has the story for VOA from Bor.
Mumtazi leads an eight-member delegation of UN officials from New York and Geneva to Bor to assess the condition IDPs are living in and see what assistance is being provided to them. The official visit a UN compound in Bor where thousands of displaced persons are sheltering. They also met with state officials and aid workers to discuss how to improve the condition that hundreds of thousands of people uprooted from their homes by the fighting are having to endure.
We want to make sure that the humanitarian response meets the needs of the people on the ground. And obviously, we are always looking into how to better improve our humanitarian response. I think clearly the humanitarian response, it is not an answer to the current crisis. Although we're doing our very best to provide assistance, there is no way that we can meet the totality of the need.
Mumtazi said both pro and anti-government forces need to ensure that aid workers can reach people in need of humanitarian assistance.
We feel that there is a good climate of cooperation, a good collaboration on the ground, and we want also to make sure that the political debate supports the humanitarian side.
Jonglei Information and Communication Minister Judy Jonglei Boyeris met with the UN official. Afterward, Boyeris told reporters the state government will work with aid agencies to improve the life of people affected by the conflict. But Boyeris said he believes the life of the IDPs sheltering at the UN compound in Bor will only improve when there is lasting peace across the country. In the meantime, the authorities are trying to work with the displaced people to try to improve things.
The solution is a peace. When the peace comes in, and then it is a total solution. But at the moment, we're asking them to actually give their ideas. We need ideas from them, actually, where they want to go. Because if Bor is not actually secure for them, and then they have to give us another option, where to go.
For BOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor, Jonglei State.
A 27-year-old Sudanese mother sentenced to death last month for converting from Islam to Christianity was freed from prison today. A court in Khartoum ordered the release of Mariam Yahya Ibrahim along with her 18-month-old son and her newborn baby that she gave birth to last month while in prison. 3 weeks ago, Yahya's defense team filed an appeal with the court that had sentenced her to death to review its earlier verdict because they say it was in violation of Sudan's constitution that guarantees freedom of religion. One of Yahya's lawyer, Abdel Rahma, told VOA earlier this month that a committee of judges had been formed to review her case. Today's court decision to throw out the death sentence and release Yahya seems to be in direct response to that appeal, as well as widespread international pressure on the government in Sudan to revoke the death sentence. No justification or explanation was given by the court or the government in Khartoum on its official website, Suna, which published the turn of events today. VOA's phone call to Sudan's Information Minister Ahmed Bilal for comments went unanswered. Several Sudanese citizens have been convicted of apostasy in recent years, but none of them were executed because they all recanted their new faith.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Dripping water taps, wastewater from washing, and rain can form pools of stagnant water where malaria-carrying mosquitoes and other parasites breed. But there are ways to minimize the risk. First, don't dispose of water in a low-lying area which doesn't drain naturally. If there's a stagnant pool near your living space, sweep the water aside. Then, in that spot, dig a hole at least a meter deep. Refill it with sand or gravel, which is porous and allows the water into the soil so a pool doesn't form there. To help protect you and your family from disease, do what you can to eliminate stagnant water.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. When we come back, an update on conditions of refugees in South Sudan. Don't go away.
For all the latest in-depth news and analysis on the events in South Sudan, tune in to Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. You can email us at southsudan@voanews.com. We're also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That is South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
Put your flags up in the sky. Hi, this is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports. Visit voafootball.com for live updates on the World Cup in Brazil. The site is optimized for your mobile phone or tablet and will bring you the latest scores, stats, photos, and videos. And everything can be shared with your friends from your mobile device to Facebook and Twitter. World Cup nonstop at voafootball.com.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's your favorite sport and why?
My favorite sport is soccer. I like soccer so much simply because I used to play soccer. I used to play football. And that's why I like it, and it's actually fun. So I like it so much.
My favorite sport is swimming. I love swimming because it makes me relaxed when I'm stressed, and also it keeps me in shape.
My favorite sport is football. I like it so much. I do play it, and when I watch players that play the football, it inspires me so much also to play and give me the courage to love it.
I love rugby because it's involving the crowd and the players, and it's not as monotonous as other games.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Last week, refugees marked the World Refugee Day, and the news was not good. The crisis in South Sudan is one of the many that have added to the number of refugees around the world. Life for refugees is not easy, as Mungume Debs Rakarinj found out when he met some of them in Juba.
17-year-old Omoti Obor Opodi came to South Sudan when he was just 9. Opodi says he never understood why he had to flee his home in Ethiopia.
At that time, I was very young, and my parents, they are the one who told me that there was something that happens. And so from there, they told me that there is a fighting, and because of the war that happened there. And that's why we become our refugees today.
The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, or UNHCR, says there are about 240,000 refugees in South Sudan. Most are from Sudan, but others fled violence or persecution in countries including the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, and Central African Republic. Opodi says he worked with his parents from Gambala, Ethiopia. He remembers how it took them days to reach Jonglei State. When they got there, violence in the area forced them to move on again. They headed south to Juba, where they have been living since 2007. Life as a refugee is very challenging, Opodi says. Simple things that most people take for granted are often out of reach for refugees. Opodi was only able to start going to school in 2009 when he was 11.
My father, he doesn't have money to the school fees to take us to schools. I supposed to enter in school early, so because of the school fees, my parents don't have money. Just I enter into a school late.
Opodi was able to start school because the UNHCR helped his family out. Today he says he wants to become a doctor, but he says life is still tough for him and his family of six. They live on handouts from relief agencies and whatever crops they can harvest from a small plot of land that was given to his parents by the community. Joseph Shihemi works for a humanitarian NGO, Across, which helps refugees. He says there is one problem faced by refugees like Opodi and his family that relief agencies cannot solve, and that is ending the conflict that created them in the first place.
We know that South Sudan itself as a country has had experienced some internal conflicts which have in turn also affected refugees, like when we had this recent conflict that erupted in South Sudan in December. There were many South Sudanese who actually fled their homes and even went into the Gorom refugee settlement. Over 200 households.
Paulino Paida is the Director of Refugee Protection and Welfare at the Government Commission for Refugee Affairs. He says the ongoing crisis in South Sudan has not only forced more people to flee their homes, but it also prevents the government from helping the refugees created by the fighting. But Paida says South Sudanese are hospitable people and are doing all they can to share the little they have with the refugees. For VOA News, I am Gumedev Sirwakarinj in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry pressured Iraq's top Shiite leaders today to create a more inclusive government in the face of a militant Sunni insurgency that has captured vast territories in northern and western Iraq. The top U.S. diplomat made an unannounced trip to Baghdad and met for more than an hour and a half with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and also with the key Shiite cleric and the two highest-ranking Sunni lawmakers. Israel has bombed several targets in Syrian territory along the Golan Heights in retaliation for an attack yesterday that killed an Israeli teenager in the Israeli-controlled Golan. Israeli officials say today's airstrikes targeted a Syrian regional military headquarters and launching positions, and that direct hits were confirmed. And finally, after the Nigerian government vowed to destroy Boko Haram insurgents last week, violence continues in the country's volatile northeast. The bloodshed included an attack on a village in the area where more than 200 girls were kidnapped in April. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
An Egyptian court has sentenced three Al Jazeera TV journalists accused of supporting the Muslim Brotherhood to 7 to 10 years in prison. Edward Iranian reports for VOA from Cairo. The court convicted Peter Gresti, Mohamed Fahmi, and Bahar Mohamed of spreading false news and supporting the banned Islamist group. Charges all three men deny.
Khalid, Abdul Rahman, Mahmoud, Ahmad, Abdul Wahab, Muhammad, Mahmoud, Fadil, Fahmi.
The judge spoke slowly and deliberately as he pronounced his sentences in the heavily publicized trials of the Al Jazeera journalists. He put a particular emphasis on the 7-year sentence he was giving to Australian Peter Grest. Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop says her country respects the independence of Egypt's judiciary, but she reacted with shock to the verdict.
We are deeply dismayed by the fact that a sentence has been imposed, and we are appalled by the severity of it. It is hard to credit that the court in this case could have reached this conclusion. The Australian government simply cannot understand it based on the evidence that was presented in the case.
Al Jazeera TV's general manager, Mustafa Suag, calls the verdict an attack on freedom of the press.
It's not because of our journalists who are our first priority, but it's about the freedom of the media and about all journalists who are jailed or are harassed. Al Jazeera is not only suffering from this particular behavior in courts, but also suffering in Egypt because we cannot work freely in Egypt. Our offices are closed. Our people cannot work there.
Egyptian political sociologist Saeed Sadiq tells VOA that Jazeera TV's Arabic and Jazeera Direct channels have been broadcasting negative and at times false information about events in Egypt. He also says the Qatari government, which owns the station, has been supporting the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood group.
Journalism is a crime when you are lying, when you are hiding an agenda, an editorial policy against the country. And then you come to a foreign country and try to portray or export an image of chaos because you have a political agenda. Media is a tool in political sabotage.
Sadiq says the case is tied to Egypt's relations with the Qatari government, and Qatar has been supporting chaos and violence in Egypt. Some Egyptian journalists call the sentences excessive and say they could be thrown out by an appeals court. Egypt's president may also commute the sentences, but only after the appeals process is over. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
That report by Edward Uranian brings us to the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Vita Imana by DRC artist Fergola.
Ça, c'est le tube qui vous fait toujours plaisir. Faire et cher de Paul Gola. Voilà comment je suis devenu. Mokondinanga Ginoel Ngoya. Gilouemba ya Métion. Junior Aziz. Jacques Mayido.
Salem service au comibi palais boyer. Au comibi son beau boyer. Nassimbe batouche potinana lina kayo mingi. Na komi kobeta ba turuka matsina quartier na bino ba master quartier ba komi kotongo ngaina masolo soki na leki e balobaka leki edit kilanda moko mawa e leki e
president pek
leki mawa ake kotala salem na baye pokwa nyoso na yakana kutaka na ngaka kayete
coordinateur
Balobinga na tinga mayon pona bongo Balobinga na tinga mayon pona bongo Salem Lobelo koni na ngosio somela na kome souvenir
Mav ma vinga
Kolia na lia kasenga imoko Kola tampe na la ta kasenga imoko
Lodi pire
Soki jipe minya te ba mastatu alita chamala Nani mosusu Ozo kisi monte manangai Papa, ponini, o baby sinzo tombo.
Shiro chamala.
Pona maloba ya kinsasa, Jean-Jacques Mutuale.
Fransimbala,
Jumbo. Pona songi songi ya kini wayo, Tonino Fernando.
We have been listening to Fergola with that song, Vita Imana. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Chiba Chibasu. Zorro Bando, da Jumbo Mbassi.
Salem service garçon à Paris.